So, first of all, what kind of issues are you encountering the most?
So, given the lockdown situation, we're finding that there is, initially, people were just really concerned about things like getting toilet roll and wondering if there was going to be any food. So there was just a lot of anxiety, and a lot of people were no longer, almost as if they didn't need any of our services. I guess it's more almost like a survival instinct. I need to get the things that allow me to feel safe and be safe. But subsequently, we've recognized that there's been an increase in things like the levels of anxiety and uncertainty with all of what the lockdown, the virus and its effects or potential effects on people. So lots of worry and people feeling down and feeling sometimes a bit hopeless. So I'd say those are some of the things that we're noticing a lot more.
What did you predict was going to happen, and how have things differed from your predictions?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if anybody could predict anything with regards to this situation. As a service, we were unable to predict because this is unprecedented. I think that word has been used a lot of times. There is no template that we've had in the last, 100 years to deal with something like this. So predictions, no. I think the service has been very responsive in terms of being able to adjust how we've worked from being face-to-face, heavily face-to-face, doing workshops one-to-ones, to translating the professionalism and the, dare I say, professional intimacy, the closeness that needs to be established in order for a client to work with a total stranger talking about things that are very important to them. So the way in which the service has translated its ability to serve the needs of those vulnerable members of our borough has been particularly efficient and works currently very well. We're seeing most of the clients that we're seeing are online or via phone, and that's happening every day.
How much of an uptake has there been since the pandemic really started and since the lockdown began?
So as I said, there was a dip. Because it would seem that across the country, people were just afraid and nervous and uncertain, and so it was very obvious that people wanted to do things that help them to kind of gain a sense of safety and well-being again, and then gradually, probably over the next sort of 4 weeks, 6 weeks, the numbers have increased significantly. The numbers of people wanting to have support in terms of helping to manage with particularly anxiety, low mood, feeling uncertain, sense of hopelessness, knowing where help is. I think that's been a huge thing. A number of services have been partnering with a number of organizations across the borough so that we can let people know where help is for a number of different things, very practical ways of supporting.
So if people don't want to go to a GP, what can they do to get help?
Okay, so the Talk Wandsworth, Sutton Uplift, Merton Uplift services are all available online or via phone. So the website for Merton Uplift is www.mertonuplift.nhs.uk. For Sutton Uplift, it's similar, www.suttonuplift.co.uk, psychological therapies. And for Talk Wandsworth here in Wandsworth, it's www.talkwandsworth.nhs.uk. We all have our own dedicated phone numbers as well. So for those people who may not necessarily want to use the internet. They can phone through and speak to somebody and be able to get help and support at whatever stage of support and help they feel that they need.
So are there any services that you would recommend to people?
Definitely. So I work within the wellbeing service, the wellbeing team, and the wellbeing workshops are very practical, tool-based strategies that we share that allow people to be able to cope, manage, deal with day-to-day situations. It's not therapy, but it's the kind of, we sometimes say it's the kind of information and tools and strategies that one would use when we're our best self, when we're really thriving, when we're doing well, the kind of tools that we draw on or the kind of resources that we draw on. So that's what the wellbeing workshops provide, and they cover things like coping with stress. We've designed a workshop called Maintaining Your Wellbeing During Lockdown, Self-Care Relaxation. There's a program for parents, new parents. There's a program also for those that are living with long-term health conditions like COPD, diabetes, heart disease, and so on. So the wellbeing workshops are a really great place to start, and they're for anybody. You don't have to have a diagnosis or even think that you are sick, if you want, or unwell. You may not necessarily, but you're finding that maybe things are a little hard. You're kind of not sure how you're coping. The wellbeing workshops are ideal as a way of just getting practical tools and support. In addition to that, there are some cognitive behavioral therapy based services. So phone one-to-one or groups, offering, again, some techniques, some cognitive behavioral therapy-based techniques in order to help manage things like stress, panic, low mood, anxiety. And beyond that, if there's greater complexity or greater need, we have some senior clinicians who are able to offer some further help for those who need it.
Can you give me a sense of what it's like for somebody at one of these workshops, please?
Okay, so are we thinking about the wellbeing workshops? So in terms of the wellbeing workshops, the clinician would be looking to do a questionnaire just to get a sense of how they're doing. It's almost like a check-in. How are you doing today? What are the things that you've been able to manage? How are you managing in the last couple of weeks? And that just gives us a way to understand if there is any risk, if there are any areas that we should be prioritizing straight away in terms of their safety and well-being. The clinician would have previously sent via email or in the post the workshop material, so the individual would be able to see the slides and the content that the clinician is now going to be talking them through. And then slide by slide, page by page, there would be a conversation about the content of the material, and the individual who is participating has the opportunity to share some of their own thoughts, share some of their ideas, be able to get explanations for maybe some themes that may not necessarily be very clear. But the process is aimed to be interactive. It's aimed also to be very affirming and leaving the participant with a sense of, okay, I have an idea of how I can use some of these tools as a way of helping myself to cope week by week, day by day.
So what would you say to somebody who is feeling down or is incredibly worried, but for whatever reason is resisting signing up to one of this or looking into it, for whatever reason that might be?
Yeah, and That's a good question, and I definitely sympathize with that and kind of get a sense, because there is so much stigma around anything to do with one's emotional well-being or mental health. It can be seen as a taboo subject. We talk about lots of things, but probably don't talk about that. It's certainly a lot more in the last couple of years, a lot more celebrities, the media has focused a lot more on emotional health and mental health and well-being, but the stigma still remains. And so what I would say to somebody who senses that maybe they would benefit from some help but are not sure, that if somebody you cared for, if there was somebody that you care for that was struggling, if there's somebody that you had some responsibility for that was struggling, it could be a pet even, what would you do for them? You know, would you gently support, gently encourage, and assist? And that's what I would say, that there is the services provided by Merton, Talk Wandsworth, a certain uplift are available, they're flexible. We're people too, you know, we experience a lot of the challenge of day-to-day living. We're not excluded in any way, and I think maybe that's what I'd want to say, that nobody is excluded from issues around emotional health and well-being. We all need to be able to pay attention to that and learn some things that can help us to survive, but not just to survive, to go beyond surviving. And